Hey, are any of you guys going through menopause or perimenopause? Ugh, you know how you can't find any comfort in your body? Or even if you're done, if you're on the other side like I am, but you still kind of feel like a wet sock on a busy highway? You've got to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. So here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body, wait for it, adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's not just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of any hormonal imbalance can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal and perimenopausal symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over and over again in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DSG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DSG for 15% off today.
Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back. And now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact.
Hey everyone, how's it going? Welcome back. So I'm here with another solo episode. I haven't done one in so long and now suddenly it's like back to back, but here we are. So it is, as many of you know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And as you know, I am a fierce advocate for women in particular who suffer emotional abuse. And I talk a lot about emotional abuse on my podcast here. This right here, this is the podcast, and on Instagram and social media. And most of my clients are suffering from some form of emotional abuse. And it's something that, first of all, the most important thing that you need to know is that emotional abuse is a form of domestic violence. It is not something different. The National Center for Domestic Violence, the hotline, if you go to thehotline.org and you scroll through, like, what is abuse? They've got an incredible website, by the way. Emotional abuse is a form of domestic violence. And I got to tell you, it's taken me years to come to terms with and accept the fact that I am a victim of domestic violence, right? Like, it sounds so, it sounds so dramatic and like, no. I was just emotionally abused. I just had this like coercive, controlling, manipulative, you know, all of those things, right? But it wasn't domestic violence. And I still have trouble sort of making that correlation for myself. But that's the point, right? It's the othering that we do. it's the like, no, it's not me. Like, no, I'm not really abused. I'm not a victim. All of that stuff. And, you know, I hear a lot of people saying, like, I don't want to identify myself as a victim. I'm a survivor. It's like, okay, yes, I am a survivor because I've been out of it for 13 years. I am absolutely a survivor, but I was a victim. And I think for many of us, owning our victimhood is actually really important. I don't think we can call ourselves survivors until we have owned the fact that we're victims. And that's so much harder. And it's like, you know, oh, but I want to be empowered. I don't want to feel like a victim. Listen, it is fucking powerful to own victimhood. It's one of the most powerful things that you can do to say, oh my God, yes, me. I was a victim. And it, you know, and I get the sort of juxtaposition of that, right? That like, how can it be powerful or empowering to own or call yourself a victim? I am not talking about chronic victimhood. I am talking about acceptance. Because, you know, look, like getting sober or, you know, healing from any addiction or whatever, right? We have to first admit our powerlessness. We're powerless over alcohol. We're, you know, if we're codependents, we're powerless over people, places, and things, right? Like owning and understanding and surrendering to what we're powerless over is the beginning of healing. And the same is true of accepting and healing and becoming a survivor of any kind of abuse, is to first recognize our victimhood in it. That's one thing. So it's, you know, as I, when I sit here and I say to you, like, hey, I'm a survivor of emotional abuse, and to have embraced the idea that I was a victim of emotional abuse and a victim of domestic violence, whoa, that's really hard. Still, guys, still. And remember, I'm almost 13 years out. So it's still hard for me to, a hard pill for me to swallow. And it's a hard pill for me to be public about. Right? Because if you guys have been listening to my podcast for a while, you may notice there's like an arc here where I've sort of been, in the beginning, I was sort of vague and I, you know, wouldn't really talk about my ex in those terms quite as much, or I would sort of couch it a little bit, right? Soften it, cushion it. Like cushions on a couch, right? So that's how I would kind of do it, right? And then lately, I have gotten to the point where I have no more fucks left to give. And part of this is because one time, right, my hesitancy early on was that back in 2013, I wrote an article. I wrote it for my blog, and it was picked up by the Huffington Post. And in it, I exposed my ex for being an emotional abuser. And I didn't know that it was going to get picked up by the Huffington Post in the way that it was. It was sort of confusing. So not really relevant, but it was. And then it kind of went viral, and my ex found out about it very quickly. And it caused so much damage. And frankly, I got in a lot of trouble. I got in trouble. And because, of course, you know, and I got in trouble in the comments, y'all, you know, and I wrote a follow-up piece called Because We Don't Have Bruises, which I actually published anonymously because of the amount of trouble I got into for speaking my truth. Right. And my thought at the time was, I remember getting an email from my ex's boss saying, when did you become such a horrible person? And I was like, I'm the horrible person. I described in detail the emotional abuse that I suffered in my marriage. And I'm the horrible person. Right. And I thought, If I had exposed him as a violent physical abuser, would I be the horrible person? I mean, maybe in some circles, but probably not. Probably people would think that he's the horrible person and I'm the victim, right? And so I was not allowed, there was so much trauma that came after that event that I sort of went back into the shadows and I'm like, I can't talk about it publicly and I need to be careful and I need to, you know, all of this stuff. And then also there was my son and like, okay, like, am I ever going to, does my son need to hear this? Like if by some, you know, miracle, my son decides that he wants to start listening to my podcast, which, you know, so far hasn't happened really. Then, like, I'm going to have to contend with that. And yeah, I am. It is true. And, you know, we have had a lot of conversations about this, he and I. And, you know, he has come to me on a number of occasions and asked me a lot of really hard questions that I have had to answer in the most honest way that I can, that doesn't throw his dad under the bus, but still holds my experience as being true. You know, one of the things that I say to my clients all the time, especially my clients who are being gaslit and who are being emotionally abused, is that you are never going to agree on the narrative. So he will have he'll have his narrative about how crazy you are or how miserable you've made him your entire life or how you've abused him, whatever. He will have that narrative and you can't control it. And that's a really, really, really tough pill to swallow. You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
By the same token, you get to have your narrative and you get to tell whoever the fuck you want, whatever the fuck you want. You want to think about it carefully. You don't want to, you know, say things to your children that are going to harm them. You know, you're going to tell your nosy neighbors maybe a version of this that is far less specific than you might tell your closest friends and family. But you get to have a narrative and you get to own it. Right? Your story is what happened to you. And as long as you are really doing the work and you are invested in your own truth and you are processing and not, you know, if you're telling everybody what happened and owning your narrative to the point where you're like, you know, the town crier about your situation because you want to be you want somehow you want like vindication and you want to justify everything and all of that and revenge, right? Then like, no, right? That's not probably the healthiest thing for you to be doing. But it's also not healthy for you to sweep things under the rug and allow yourself to be painted in a way that's not fair or true by someone who has hurt you and abused you. You know, I guess part of what I'm saying is I got in trouble for speaking publicly about my situation a long time ago, and so I stopped doing it. Hello, coercive control. Hello, same dynamics that happened in my marriage, right? Like, oh my gosh, right, get me in trouble, make me feel bad and scared and all of the things, and then I'll shut up and nobody will have to know. So you may notice that more recently I have been speaking a little bit more publicly about it, and it's all part of my healing. It's part of my own personal journey. It's part of my own growth. You know, here we are. For this Domestic Violence Awareness Month, I am really working on shedding light on emotional abuse because that is my wheelhouse. That is what I've experienced. That is what I help women with. I help them come to terms with the fact that that's what they're going through. So much of the work that we do in my Facebook group is around helping women identify emotional abuse, come to terms with that, the fact that that's what's happening to them. Most of what I do in my private practice is helping women identify and heal from emotional abuse. This is kind of my thing. This is my my torch, is this emotional abuse piece. And we saw this really clearly in the last couple of months as the Gabby Petito case gained so much traction. And, you know, there are a few things I want to say about Gabby Petito. The main thing that I want to say is that any survivor of domestic violence or emotional abuse who watched the video of their traffic stop in Moab, any survivor of emotional abuse watched that. And to all of us, the signs were so clear, you guys. The signs were so clear. We could see it so clearly. What you see is a woman who has essentially lost her grip. And when you see a woman who is so emotional and out of control, this woman is hyperventilating. She's hyperventilating. And then her partner is calm and cool as a cucumber and sort of laughing it off and like, yeah, I don't know what's wrong with her. She has some mental problems. And whenever you see that level of distortion or dissonance or juxtaposition of, you know, one person is really super calm and the other person's out of their fucking mind, most likely it's a case of emotional abuse and gaslighting. And we talk about gaslighting a lot, right? We talk about it, we throw the term around a lot. And that's because, by the way, it happens a lot. But I want us to actually dig in and really understand what this is that we're talking about. Gaslighting. First of all, it comes from a movie, I think it was 1939, in which there is a husband and a wife, and he keeps dimming the gas lights because their houses run on gas lighting, and he keeps dimming them. And then she keeps saying, whoa, what happened to the lights? And he's like, what are you talking about? And then he dims them again, and she's like, what happened to the lights? And he's like, are you okay? Like, there's nothing happening with the lights. And it goes on and on and on to the point where she actually loses her mind. So it is a long and slow process of him denying her reality that he is creating. Okay, and that's the really important part. So he creates and distorts her reality, and then he denies it. And then she starts to doubt her own perception of reality and the truth. And to the point where she loses her grip on reality entirely. And that is what we see with Gabby Petito. That's what we see in some of the most extreme cases of emotional abuse. I have a client recently who I was very, very concerned about because she was in a horribly, violently, emotionally abusive marriage. And she was getting out, but she was staying in the house. And I kept saying, like, you got to get out. You got to get out. Like, this is dangerous, emotionally dangerous for you. And it was one call where she started to sound like she was losing it. And her reality, her grip on reality was actually starting to slip. And she sounded like she was starting to go insane. Like, there, it was just like a grain of it that I went, oh, fuck. And I mentioned it to her. And I said, listen, I need to tell you that this is what I'm hearing. And she said, you know, my brother said the same thing. And I said, okay. And she was out within a couple of weeks. And the next time I spoke to her, she was back. You know, but listen, it's a fine fucking line. It's a fine fucking line, because another 5 minutes in that house and I think she would have tipped over that edge. This is why emotional abuse is so serious. And this is why they say that emotional abuse can be far more devastating than physical abuse. Because it is the mental trickery. It's the mental fuckery. It's the losing of your own sense of reality that is so scary. And so with Gabby Petito, we saw this woman who was completely out of her mind, hyperventilating and taking responsibility. It's me. It's me. I did it. I know. It's me. It's me. It's my fault. It's my fault. Here is what we mean. With the calls for defunding the police, which I think needs a rebrand, because I don't think it's not about defunding. It's about shifting funds away from policing and into some more mental health arenas. For example, if the moment it became clear that this was a domestic issue, which they did, they identified it as a domestic issue, but they identified him as the victim, right? But the second it was identified as a domestic issue, if there was a branch of the police that was called in, right? If as soon as they say, oh, it's a domestic issue, hold on, we need to shift this away from the police and to our domestic task force, which is made up of social workers and people who are trained in identifying these things. Because look, cops can't be trained in everything. Like, they can't be trained in recognizing the signs of abuse and this. And I mean, they can be, but like, we're not doing it, by the way. We have not shifted the funding into training them for all of these things. But it's also unreasonable to assume that, you know, they should be specialists in all of these things. They just shouldn't, right? So if we could shift funding away from police interventions and put it more into mental health stuff, the second the police in Moab identified that Gabby Petito was perhaps the aggressor and the perpetrator of emotional abuse, or there was a domestic happening, they had called someone who specialized in it, they would have come in and been like, okay, actually, he is not the victim here. This looks like a clear case of gaslighting. We need to get her separated from him, and we need to get some interventions for her because she's clearly the one who is in emotional distress. We need to get her some help so that she can calm down and we can find out what's really going on. And, you know, look, she may be alive. It's possible that Gabby Petito would still be alive if that was done. It's fucking tragic. It's tragic, but it's also preventable. It's preventable. One of the things that I want to help women understand, and men, if they are being abused. So listen, it's mostly, I mean, I think the numbers are around 90%. mostly men who are perpetrating abuse on women. I get all the messages and emails and everything telling me that men are abused too. Yes, I know. Thank you so much. But the numbers are far weighted in the other direction. So if you are a man and you are listening to this, I say this all the time, if you're a man who's listening to this and you are a victim, I absolutely want to support you too. I support victims. And if you're listening to this, you know what I'm about and you know my stance and you know that you just need to switch genders when I talk about this stuff. I am speaking to you if you are being victimized as well. The number of female victims far outweighs the number of male victims. So one of the things that I like to help women and or victims understand is not just what emotional abuse looks like, because it looks different everywhere. Some abusers are, some of them are really kind of like obvious and not that skilled at being covert. Some of them, like my ex-husband, are so good at it because they would never say outright things like, you know, you can't work, or, you know, you're getting fat, or like any of the things, right, that are sort of obvious. It is the super subtle emotional twisting of your sense of reality, right? It is the, when we have a conversation, I'm going to sit you down and I'm going to explain to you why you're wrong, because that's the way that you, there's a great line or section in Lundy Bancroft's Why Does He Do That? Where he talks about an abusive man who is adept in the language of feeling can make his partner feel crazy by turning each argument into a therapy session in which he puts her reactions under a microscope and assigns himself the role of helping her. He may, for example, explain to her the emotional issues she needs to work through or analyze her reasons for mistakenly believing that he is mistreating her. Let me tell you all, that is my marriage in a nutshell.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
What it feels like is this constant okay, what am I doing wrong? Okay, it's me. It's what Gabby Petito was saying. No, it's me. You don't understand. It's just because I have issues. I have OCD. So obviously I'm the problem. I have mental issues. I have childhood trauma and I have childhood wounding and so I'm going to twist myself into a pretzel. I'm going to call another therapist. Okay. I'm going to do another workshop. Okay. I'm going to do this. I am going to do one. And if I could just, there's just one thing around the corner. There's one more thing. None of it's working so far, but there's just one more thing that I can do to make it right so that he'll stop. And what I want to say to you is no. There isn't. There is nothing more that you can do that will make him stop because he doesn't want to stop. Stopping is not part of the bargain here because it's a moving target. As soon as you do that one thing, as soon as you do the one thing that he told you that you should do to make him stop, then there's something else. There's always, always something else. Another thing that Lundy Bancroft says is abuse grows from attitudes and values, not feelings. So this has nothing to do with his feelings. Lundy says the roots are ownership. The roots of emotional abuse are ownership, the mistaken belief that he owns you in some way, right? There is this patriarchal, deeply rooted belief that somehow a man owns his wife. And look, we support this by taking their names. Right? We become theirs. There's so many ways in which our culture supports this notion that when we, you know, marry a man or when we get into relationship with him, suddenly we are his. I mean, look at they call us baby, right? My woman, like all of these things, right? And it is the roots are ownership. And then Lundy says the trunk, you know, that grows out of those roots, the trunk of this is entitlement. Entitlement. I deserve a woman who no wife of mine is gonna, right? They're entitled to you being, looking, behaving, all of those things in particular ways. And again, some of them are really skilled at creating a really twisted, manipulative narrative around this that makes you think that they're helping you or that they're really just trying to work on the marriage. But if it looks or feels like he's entitled to something from you, that's abuse. And then Lundy goes on to say that the branches are control. Right? Because those are the tools. Control, control, control. So Lundy also says, I want to read the rest of these bullet points. Abuse and respect are opposites. Abusers cannot change unless they overcome their core of disrespect towards their partners. Abusers are far more conscious of what they are doing than they appear to be. However, even their less conscious behaviors are driven by their core attitudes. Again, those attitudes being control and entitlement and ownership. Now, people say all the time, right, do abusers know what they're doing? If they are not doing the same things at work, if they're not doing the same things in front of people, if, for example, you go to a party and you have, you know, you're having a really good time and you're getting like side eye and glances or slight grimaces that other people may not pick up on. And then you leave the party and you get a litany of all the things that you did wrong. Yeah, he knows exactly what the fuck he's doing. That's what my ex did to me every single
social outing for 10 years. If they're doing it in covert ways around other people, and then overtly when you're alone, he knows exactly what the fuck he's doing. Lundy goes on to say abusers are unwilling to be non-abusive, not unable. They do not want to give up power and control. And then the last point he makes in this chapter is you are not crazy. Trust your perceptions of how your abusive partner treats you and thinks about you. Trust your perceptions. And that's one of the hardest things because you spend your life with someone who is telling you to not trust your perceptions. You spend your life with someone who's turning out the lights and then telling you that the lights are not out until you go crazy. So your only way out is to trust perceptions that are being systematically destroyed. This is why emotional abuse is so fucking dangerous. It's not hopeless, right? Because what you'll see, and if you're in my Facebook group, you know this. You start to hear other women's stories. This is why I'm talking about this. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about it because the more we talk about it, the more we go, oh, fuck. I'm not alone. I recognize that. I feel that. I see that in thousands of women. There are 7,000 women in my Facebook group right now who are all having very similar experiences. And when women talk about things and we relate to each other and each other's stories, that's when we rise up and say, oh, hell no. No fucking more. And we'll do it individually in our individual relationships, and then we will do it as a whole. And listen, we're at the point now where women are not getting remarried, y'all. We're just not, because we're fucking tired. We're tired of the labor. You know, marriage doesn't really serve women all that well. Marriage serves men. They get remarried very, very quickly because they need us. But they're marrying they're marrying younger women because those women haven't quite gotten to this place yet of, wait a minute. Right? Point being, we have to use our voices. We have to be loud. We have to talk about this stuff. Talk about it. Listen, talk about it in very safe places first. Learn how to talk about it. You know, I'm not suggesting that you get on Instagram and you start talking about your emotionally abusive marriage that you're still in. But get into my Facebook group and start having conversations with other women and find your power and find your voice. Find your ability to trust your perceptions. Find the validation that you need to be able to say, no, the lights are off, motherfucker, and you turned them off. No more. The link to join my Facebook group is in the show notes, or if you just go to Facebook and search, should I stay or should I go? It'll come up. You'll see my face in the picture. That is a place to begin. That is a place to start. Another place to start is to just confide in someone you trust, even if it's just one person, right? Start sharing your stories. That is how we shift this and we end this.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us